Well, here we are, another special edition of our Getting to Know series. I hope you've really enjoyed these episodes over the lockdown period, trying to keep you entertained and engaged with Welsh football. And we have a legend of our game here in Wales with us today, Rhys Griffiths. I'm very grateful to him for joining us. Rhys, keeping well, family are all safe. Are you missing football?
In the last few weeks, I am missing it. I need that buzz back. Having said that, there's elements of stress that I haven't missed, which I'm starting to, they're starting to come back into my life now that things are starting to kind of take shape, I suppose. But yeah, I've missed it. And the family are really well, so I've had no complaints. And although this whole scenario has been awful, there have been some positives, for individual lives. And mine has been, I've been blessed to have been with my children more and being able to homeschool them, which is a privilege, really. So, although it's very tough.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, when's the last time you had a break this long from football? Would it have been before you were even playing?
Oh, yeah, wow. Especially because, you know, I qualified for Europe in quite a few seasons. There was no breaks for those. And I was also always one who I didn't stop training. Maybe that was a hindrance then when I got to sort of in my early to mid-30s. But, yeah, I always trained right through. So, yeah, I've never had a break this long before. But there's positives to that too. So,
and congratulations, of course, for obviously the season didn't finish the way people wanted it to, I guess. You know, we'd have loved to have seen it finished on the pitch, of course. But I think the right decision was made and so on. And are you pleased with how everything went in the end?
Yeah, I'm glad that we made a decision to end the season. I said that quite early on, actually, in the process that, you know, in any scenario, in uncertainty causes panic. I don't think human nature deals well with uncertainty, and that was causing panic. So to put an end to that helped. Obviously, there's still some uncertainty. We don't know, you know, what format we're going to start in, when we're going to start, who's been relegated, etc. Hopefully that news will come soon. But yeah, I welcomed the decision. I thought it was the right decision. And then obviously thankful that we, in the last sort of six games, our form really turned and we showed the lessons we'd learned from the first part of the season, first phase, if you like. We were able really to put ourselves in a strong position in terms of relegation.
And, you know, not to look on hypotheticals too much, but where do you think you could have gone if the season had been concluded on the pitch? Because as you say, you know, you'd learnt a lot and managed to develop a lot in the season.
No, we would have No, I think we were starting to think, well, let's claw ABBA back. You know, let forget looking below us. We can catch ABBA. I think we had them twice more to play. Oh no, once more to play. But we had a game in hand on them. So we were starting to think about maybe finishing, and I hadn't discounted those two teams. Airbus obviously were in a bit of a predicament in terms of points and games played, but I still hadn't ruled them out, because you have to play them. And all of a sudden Airbus beat us twice. Carmarthen had done amazingly well to get 7 points from us. So we couldn't count those points. I'll take those points for granted, I should say. So, yeah, we were looking sort of below and above at the time, but we were aiming probably to try and catch ABBA.
And in terms of lockdown and the period that's been now, it's past three, is it 3 months yet? It's nearly 3 months, surely. What have you been doing to keep occupied, given that there's no football, so to speak?
Well, in terms of the football, for a couple of weeks, we didn't do anything. And I sort of said to Martin Giles and Lee Jarman, who work with me, that we won't do anything. We'll just, you know, respect the lockdown and, you know. But then very quickly, it felt like, hang on a second, we could be off and all of a sudden be back. But also, we could be off for 6 months here. And the players might not do anything for 6 months. We come back as strangers, quite unfit. So we need to do something. So I had some help off some people I turned to for advice sometimes, and we came up with a competition. So that a pen a bob, we ran a competition. So it was, I think it was 17-3, and every two or three days I'd set a new challenge, whether it be a ball skill or a fitness sort of challenge. and they'd have to submit to me, and then the teams would get points, and we were doing quizzes and also videos. We were sending every 2 days a player would have to send a video message, which started off, they were quite sort of placid and reserved, let's say, and ended up, there were some quite interesting ones and other characters. And I actually feel, in a strange way, that we're closer as a group now than we were before the lockdown. Or maybe the relationships have changed slightly anyway.
Have you been getting involved in the sort of fitness drills and stuff? Are you planning a comeback?
Not planning a comeback, because although my stats in a controlled environment are still pretty good, I can still run a bit and strength and different things. If you ask me to turn, it all falls down. Unfortunately, I saw something this morning about Ronaldo at 35 doing some amazing stats, but it's not about the stats in fitness tests. It's about agility, dexterity, and turning. And I'm like afraid to train now, so I'm not planning a comeback as such. But yeah, I took part in them, and some of them I do okay in, and some of them not so good. So, but the competitiveness and the ability to dig in, let's say, hasn't left me yet. So.
And we'll touch more on your managerial career, I guess, later on. But in terms of your playing career, I mean, legendary is a good word, I think. You know, it was a very good playing career, even, you know, by modest standards. When you think about your playing career, when you look back on it, particularly in the Welsh system, I mean, what are the standout moments for you? I mean, what are the memories that are fondest for you in your career that you had in the Wales?
I was speaking to Chris Venables about this the other day, and we were saying about, say five that we'd thought of, because I think you asked that question previously. And then all of a sudden, you're, what about that one? You know, I can't believe I didn't mention that one. And I've had so many and good times. Really proud of the Welsh Premier, or the Cymru Premier as it is now, and proud to have been a career player in that, essentially. So, wow, I go back. My first goal for Cwmbran was in a League Cup against Port Talbot. It was a home game for Cwmbran, but played at Port Talbot because they were renovating Cwmbran Stadium at the time. I'd had, after some promising pre-season, and played in the UEFA Cup for them, actually, which was my debut, I'd had a poor start to the season, and essentially had a poor season, actually. But to get that goal, I was over the moon, so I'll never forget that. I think we beat them 2-0 that day. And then we go right through winning the league. We won the league off the pitch because TNS drew, I think, with Airbus. So we were in a pub staying, or not in a pub, we were in a hotel, and we'd gone to the bar to have dinner. We went to the pub. And the team were having dinner before getting our heads down before playing Connors Quay the next day. And to find out we won the league. The Welsh Cup 2011 was massive, especially because of the players I was with, and it was our goal as a group to win the Welsh Cup, probably more than it was winning the league. My first golden boot, Mark Lloyd-Williams, obviously, great goal scorer, and we were away at Real, I was with Port Talbot, with 3-0 down, we were getting hammered. I was hardly getting a kick, and I heard from the grapevine that he'd been substituted by Ken McKenna without scoring a goal. So I was two ahead of him, and he'd been taken off, and it was the best 3-0 loss I ever had. So, but it's just so many, and they all mean different things for different reasons. You know, my fourth golden boot I won was my granddad passed away, and he passed away surrounding football. So that was very significant to me, because I had to justify to myself why I was spending time away from family at a key time in my family's, the time for my family. So many.
And I mean, it's interesting, you know, I don't know how would you describe to someone else the career you had? I mean, I was thinking about it earlier, and it's like playing on the PlayStation, you know, you win everything, you win the golden boots, you win the player of the years, you know, is there anything you haven't done that you thought, you know, when you were a player that you thought, oh, I wish I'd done that, or anything in particular?
I don't think I won enough team competitions. I won all of them, but I won them all once. Well, the League Cup, maybe twice. I can't. I'm like, that's embarrassing. I don't know. I think maybe once or twice for the League Cup. I showed that I didn't really put it in that higher priority. But I won the league, I won the Welsh Cup, but I should have won them more. And the Llanelli side I played in should have won more. And I take some responsibility for that as well. It's not, I'm not passing the buck there, but it was, we should have won more as a group. And I think probably the reason we didn't was, as a club, we didn't put enough emphasis on training and on facilities. It was more player-centred. We were only training once a week for a lot of those times. I think it was 2009, Real won the league. And we pushed them all away. I was speaking to Lee Kendall this week about that, funny enough, because he was in that team. We pushed them all away, but they were miles better than us. And I would imagine that they were training a lot more than us and were probably a bit more organised than us. So yeah, I didn't win enough as a player, in team competition. And then probably, maybe I could have gone full-time into the Football League earlier. But if I had, I would have taken away. You know, you're talking, using the word legendary and legend. You know, that's within the Welsh Premier setup. And I'm proud of that. And if I'd gone to the Football League earlier, then I wouldn't have, you know, the status that perhaps you suggested I've got within the Welsh football system. So you can't have one without the other, is what I'm saying. But no, other than that, you know, I'm happy with what I did, definitely.
Well, absolutely. Did management ever occur to you as a player? Was it something you thought, you know, I'd quite like to do this afterwards, or is it just something you sort of fell into in a way?
I think I was old before my years. You know, I was very professional in my outlook, or what I thought was professional in those days. Obviously, techniques change over time, but yeah, I was very serious about my fitness and preparation and those things. Wasn't really into nights out as such, although I had my moments. I think players I've played with would probably say it was an obvious thing because I was always quite serious and sort of organised and motivated in that. But ultimately, the reason I wanted to get into management was because I didn't really want it to end, and I knew that my football playing was going to end. I've made an income from football. I didn't want that to end. So I think one day I had a phone call from Oshin Roberts to say, do you want to do your B, your C and your B in a combined course? And I was just kind of like, yeah, come on in. I might as well. I wasn't really motivated to coach as such, but I knew that eventually I wanted to get on that path. And Oshin pushed me, to be fair, and he pushed me into my A straight afterward as well. So thankful for that.
And the only reason I ask really is because I remember speaking to Venners for a podcast recently, actually, and he said that you were a big influence on him. You know, you're one of the biggest influences on his career. And I'm sure if I talk to others that you played with for an extensive period, they'd probably say the same. So I'm just wondering, is that a conscious thing that you sort of try to influence the younger players, or do you think that people just picked things up from you? Or
I think in Chris's case, Chris was really motivated but probably needed to dedicate himself a bit more in certain ways. And he was young, don't get me wrong, he was very young at the time. Came in, saw the way I was, you know, I was into my fitness, always pushing myself, never wanted to lose. Preparation was really good. And I think he took on board some of those things. And me and Chris are very similar in personality, in terms of we're so competitive, don't like the word luck, that kind of thing. So lucky, really, that we two friends kind of found each other very similar in our outlook on life. I actually think I probably wasn't great for younger players in my Welsh Prem. Maybe later on, but when I was at Llanelli, younger players, I had no patience. If they weren't doing things the way I wanted it done, I probably didn't speak to them in the right manner at times. Certainly on the pitch, because on the pitch, different animal. But even on the pitch, didn't probably give them as much time as I would have liked. And it was only when I went to Plymouth that I saw the way I was behaving mirrored in some of the senior pros there, the way they were talking to some of the younger players. And I thought, I'd probably been like this. And it's not good. And I changed then at Plymouth, certainly. And probably was better with the younger players from then on. But no, in my in the younger days, it was either do it the way I did it, or I probably mistreated you a little bit. Not over the top or anything. There was no bullying going on, I don't think. But I was just had no patience. If you didn't do it properly, I wasn't interested.
If you were managing yourself, how do you think you would have handled it?
Wow, that's a good question. I think in some ways I was easy to manage. You know, like I keep going on, I was fit, I was always prepared, always motivated, never gave up, those things. But difficult in other ways, you know, very strong-minded, opinionated, probably a bit sharp-tongued as well at times in terms of if I knew it was wrong, I'd just say, and I tied a few managers up in my time as well. So difficult. And a big ego as well when I was playing on the pitch, a big ego. So difficult to manage. And Peter Nicholas did it well. Wade Davis was brilliant at Port Talbot. Their embrace was good for me. Some did it really well and some didn't do it quite so well. But, you know, I wasn't easy to manage, certainly not.
Do you think that, given that, I mean, do you think that's prepared you well for management? Because you sort of know what someone with your characteristics can be like and you know how to deal with it?
As long as they're honest with me and their word is their bond, if you like, I'll take anything else, you know. Or you just, half the problems in life come from lack of communication. As long as I'm talking to my players, which I, you know, I'm sure I don't get it right all the time, they're talking to me and being honest with each other, then I think I'll cope with anything else. I haven't come across anyone like myself yet. But what I find hard is when people let you down. But when you're working in a people-centered environment, it's always going to happen. The people are the best part about being in football, and they're also the worst, because that's life, isn't it? That's people for you. So, but I don't think I've prepared myself for dealing with someone like myself. No, I'm not sure if I want that, to be honest. But then the flip side is, you know, if someone's scoring you a goal every week, then it helps, doesn't it? You know, it helps your job, so.
Are there any things you'd go back and tell yourself, if you could, as a younger player? Are there any experiences that you think that you know now that you could have, that could have helped you as a younger player, maybe, or?
I think probably more than anything, it would be to the younger me, it would be to don't worry about it so much. You know, I've had sleepless nights. We all play it cool. We all pretend we don't care. That's the footballer swag. But in reality, I've cared a lot. And I've had some nights where I haven't slept because I haven't been doing well. Certainly in the early days, I didn't do anything for 3 years. Showed some massive promise of coming down in the first pre-season and then hardly flipped the ball for them. I've had disappointments. I've had knocks. So I would tell myself, don't worry because you're going to do okay. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. In terms of decisions and stuff, I think I shouldn't have left Plymouth and I shouldn't have left Newport when I did. But at the time, it felt right. And, you know, sometimes you just got to shoot from the hip, haven't you? So that's what I did.
And when you came into management, what was the first sort of big lesson you think you learned?
We had a great pre-season in my first pre-season. You know, we won a lot of good games. We beat like an improving Llanelli side. I thought we were really going to do well. We lost the first game 3-2. We were awful. So that was a big lesson early on. I think my first four games, or even five games, we drew one and lost four. Then we won a couple, and then we got hammered by Avenida. So I had a baptism of fire in terms of results. And there was whether I felt pressure for my job at that stage, I don't think I did, but there was a bit of pressure, and we weren't doing well. So in that sense, I remember Mark Jones saying to me at the time, this is going to prepare you going forward. You don't want to have a great first 2 years and all of a sudden have a terrible period and really struggle to deal with that. So I had a bad losing patch early on, and that was a great lesson, although I didn't enjoy the time.
And given the reputation that you'd sort of built up and the status that you'd built up as a player, I mean, obviously you said earlier you weren't ready to maybe step away from football. But did you ever consider that it might be a risk because of the sort of, you know, Rhys Griffiths? You know, you should do well at football in whatever capacity you decide to be involved in it.
No, I just always think I'm going to do well. Like, I got that arrogance. It's just, I don't mean like I'm walking around thinking I'm going to do well, I'm going to do this. But I just mean when I cross the white line, I just believe in myself and I believe in the players I'm coaching and that we'll end up doing well. Even in that period I just mentioned, I never thought, oh, we're going to be bottom half. I just thought, gosh, it's going to take us ages to get up to win this league now. And I think we came second. And after that start, we came second. Barry won the league and we were 5 points behind them. They won the league. I think they did good at home. And even that day, I was thinking, they'll lose today and we'll win this. You know, so I never really doubt myself too much. And I think that's probably why I've done okay, because, you know, I always believe in myself.
Yeah.
Which contradicts the nights when I was younger, I suppose. But.
And were there key sort of moments where you thought, you know, to you always, as you said there, you always believe in yourself and so on, but there's got to come a point where that belief becomes manifested somewhere and you see the results of that belief. I mean, where was the first sort of game or moment or training session where you thought, actually, no, we've had a rough patch, but we're going to be okay?
I think the training was standard was high. Because I wasn't in training, and then there was players. We had a lad with us called Cullen Kinsella, who's a good player, and he, you know, he's turning me inside out, and I'm thinking, you know, this is training's good, but the first game, I think we played Hereford West away. Obviously, Hereford West, a good club, always got good players. We beat them 4 or 5-1. The lad called Owen Waller was outstanding that day, and you know, we just blew him away. And then we beat Monmouth 5 or 6-1. And then we had the bad day against Avonlea. So you could see it was there, but it was just, it just wasn't complete at that time. For Welsh League Division 1, we weren't a complete side. I probably hadn't organised this in the right way, hadn't got messages across in the right way. And it took a bit of time, but the lessons that I and the players learned, so it was fine.
Is it hard to have that patience given your, you know, like you said, you know, you want to win and you drive and so on. Is it hard to have that patience to accept, no, it'll come?
No, everything I've done is because of hard work. I've always just worked hard. I don't think I was, you know, particularly gifted technically or anything like that. I was a good athlete, but that was because of hard work. Everything I've done is through hard work. So I just always... Just keep working hard. And whenever we've had a bad time or even a good time, actually, just right, let's work even harder now. Let's go harder again. So my impatience comes when people aren't like me. And that's good and bad. You know, there's so much bad about me. But I sometimes find it hard to empathise with people who aren't on the same wavelength as me. And I think that's about management. And that's where I failed as a manager. And I've learned over time now to get better at that. Still lots to improve on, of course. But when someone say to me, well, you know, football's not the be-all and end-all for me, you know, I'd be thinking, what are you talking about? Or yeah, I know I could be fitter, but I don't do much outside of football. Like, I just couldn't get my head around that straight with me. Then I find that difficult to deal with because most of the time, I'm pretty straight with people. I get in trouble for that, so... That's something I probably struggle with the most is when people aren't straight with me or when they're just not quite as dedicated as I want them to be.
And your promotion season was amazing. I mean, really, I mean, you said previously how much that season means to you. At what point did you realise that was going to be a special year, or did you not have that realisation until late on?
It was quite late on, you know, I think... Costa Georgievski and Curtis Hudson, two of the players, they said early on, they said 10, maybe 12 games in, we're going beaten here. And I quickly stamped it down. I said, I don't want to ever hear that again. And then it was like the elephant in the room almost. We got to sort of, I don't know, 18, 20 games and everyone's talking about it, but they can't in front of me because I banned it. You know, if we really focus, dedicate ourselves, give everything for what was 10 or 12 games, but essentially it was probably 6 weeks. We can do it, you know. And we played Hereford West and they got a last minute equaliser. And I went mad after the game. I'm thinking, we're about 23 games in, and I'm thinking, how can I go mad? We're 23 games unbeaten. And I'm going mad because we've conceded a last minute goal. So that was a Tuesday night game. And on a Thursday then, we had, I got them in, I said, bring your trainers, you know, and I think everyone was expecting to go to the sand dunes or something. And we just played pool and had a pizza, and everyone had a beer each. And I almost apologised for kicking off after 23 games unbeaten. And then I think at that point, you know, I felt like we had something special. And the last day, we went to Cwmaman. And they were a decent side, fifth or sixth in the league, but their manager, it was his last ever game. So we felt like they had a reason to win as well. And I felt really uncomfortable. I thought, if we lose this today, we beat them 9-0. So and it just clicked on the day. It was the best we played. And it was a special season and a special group. And a lot of them are with me now. Some of that has been my decision, some of it theirs. But I'll never forget that group. It was a special group.
Is this, you know, going back to earlier, talking about the time you've had to be at home and be away from football, so to speak, does that give you more opportunity to, I mean, are you sitting around looking back on moments like that and thinking, God, that was special? Or once they're done, do you just sort of get them out of your head?
For me, it's always been a relief when I've achieved something. So, all right, I was elated when I won the Golden Boot the first time. But after that, it was just, oh, thank the Lord I didn't lose it. I wouldn't say I enjoyed the moments as such when they came along. Yeah, I enjoyed those moments, but yeah, they're in the past now. And I'm just, it's more about looking forward and what. And actually, probably in this lockdown, I've kind of, it's always on my mind, but I haven't been working towards football. I've always got, you know, tactics board out or paperwork out, or he could go there or we could do this system or whatever. And we're all like at a Welsh Premier League level. And I've not done that. So we've been working on these challenges, but other than that, I've kind of put my feet up with football in a way. And the last 10 days, it's changed and it's back on, as they say.
And then coming into this season just gone, I mean, I don't know how to describe it really, but obviously you'd built a way of playing in the now called Cymru South that was very expansive, you know, a lot of possession and so on. Obviously, when you come to this level, I think Cardiff might have had a similar experience 2 or 3 or 4 years ago now, whenever they came up, and they quickly realised that they couldn't do that because they weren't able to beat the press in the same way that they were in tier two, so to speak. Was that something that you expected to go through as a team, or was it a surprise to you how you had to adapt, or how did you sort of approach that?
No, I think I approach it the way a lot of people do. We won't change. You know, that's the way we do it. Why would I rip it up and start again? Start again and totally change it just didn't seem right. So it was better to try and adapt from where we were rather than and knowing the changes needed to be made as they were happening, rather than start again with what I thought we would need to do. And then that might not be right. I might have to adapt that. The only thing we really changed across the season was we stopped playing out from the back. You know, the season that we won the league, we very rarely went long from a goal kick. And if people pressed us, we'd encourage it and we'd just play around them. And of course, as they come out, spaces are created, etc. But the press is much more organised at this level, so they can close spaces quicker. They're more switched on mentally so that they can press quicker and they can press the right areas from the right angle, so on. So we stopped doing that. And the other thing is as well, a big problem in football is anxiety. And if you're anxious, you build anxiety. That's what happens. You get a chance. You don't score it. It's not wasted because you're building anxiety within that team you're playing against. And that's what pressure does. The amount of times this season we've saved a goal and conceded straight after it because we've become anxious or even just sort of switched off after that moment. So we were getting anxious about playing out. So very quickly we stopped doing that from restarts. But other than that, we haven't stopped playing at all. In great football in the last, we won two on the bounce, Aber and Cardiff Met. We played some great football in those games. So we've not stopped playing. but we've just become a bit more savvy, a bit more streetwise. A couple of players came in that created that for us as well. And also in a couple of games, we completely adapted, totally torn it up. Connors Key at home, totally changed the tactics altogether. Because at this level, the coaching, I'm talking about myself, I'm talking about my adversaries, they are switched on, okay? Because at this level, for what is a semi-professional level ultimately, they've all got pro license. But that means that you've had to think football like so much. So I'm up against some tough managers, and so therefore every now and again you've just got to shock them, you know. So we've done that a couple of times. That hasn't always worked either.
And I'm glad you mentioned Connors Key there, because I spoke to Andy recently for another episode of the podcast. I've been busy with the podcast, you might have noticed. He said that one of the most impressive things he saw this season was the way your team played against his team. So, you know, not to diminish you or anything, but that must make you feel quite good that a manager of his calibre and a team of his calibre thinks that what you managed to do against them was very impressive, to the point that it's one of the most impressive things they've seen all season.
Yeah, no, look, I've got an awful lot of respect for him and for Connors Key. I'm quite friendly with Jake Caton as well. Yeah, it's great to hear. And we did do really well that day, and we went with a totally different approach. I actually played up front that day, which I'm still recovering from now. There's a little clip of when the final whistle goes, all our team celebrate the point and I just kind of collapse. We just felt like we had to. We played them not long before, and it was 3-1, but they were completely dominant. We couldn't get out. George Horan, who was another player I got a lot of respect for, you know, an old adversary of mine, he was winning everything from goal kicks. If we tried to play short, they were on us. And it was a very tough afternoon. I thought my players did great that day in terms of their commitment and attitude to the cause and didn't fold. But we just had to go with something different. And again, in football, once you've got something to hang on to, if you're the underdog, and we got to half time, we'd had a few chances actually. I missed a header. I'm still getting reminded of it. But we had something to hang on to. And then it was about defending set pieces and making the game as tight as we could get. And we had some heroic performances that day as well. Like Billy Borge played great for us that day. He was only a young player. So it was great to hear from Andy. I like Andy, you know, I talked about it already, straight. He's honest. He always gives an honest opinion. He upsets a few. And that's what I like to hear. So, it is nice to hear, yeah.
That's one key performance, I'm sure, that you'd pick out from this season. But were there other games where you thought, we've learnt a lot here, or in particular? I mean, I'm sure you've learnt a lot in every game, but are there games where you thought, we've learnt a lot in this one, or we've really done well in this one, or games that stand out for whatever reason?
Yeah, both games against Kevin Druids. We won 1-3-2 and lost 3-2, but for me, and I mean no disrespect, we were the better side in both games. Just learned that we could really do well against teams. We just had to tighten up at the back. And when I say at the back, I mean as a defensive unit, as a team, I don't mean at the back. Whereas Carmarthen would be dead and buried if they hadn't got 7 points against us, we would have been if we hadn't got 6 against Airbus. So those games were massive. But we've taken positives. You know, I sometimes wonder if we'd beaten Gabari on the first day of the season, which we certainly deserved a draw, would our whole season have been a lot more comfortable? Maybe everything would have... I'm not saying we would have gone on and got Europe or anything, but maybe we would have been 8th, 7th, because we would have just had that initial boost of confidence or whatever. Instead, we had an emotional rollercoaster of a game and we lost it narrowly. But we learned a lot from that game because, you know, Barry are a decent side, and at times we outplayed them, so... We just had to get more streetwise and a bit more savvy. And we did that. And by then, Ashley Evans, Ashley Morris, Eli Phipps came in on loan. We were that. And I believe that we would have gone on and perhaps, you know, been the best side in the bottom half for the last game. That's just my belief personally.
And what does the achievement of this season mean to you? Because, you know, it's a big achievement to do what you've done. You say you wanted to do better, but you've, you know, you've still done well.
Yeah, no, it's a double-edged sword. I remember that when we lost to Barry on the first game of the season, I came in and I was almost, and I can be quite down, I was almost so positive. And I, because as a club, we had done so well that day. It was a great occasion. We had a lot of people there. The organisation was superb. And I was proud of that. So, and just proud of the fact that we did well, despite the fact we lost. And the players probably looked at me and thought, what's he on about being a bit sort of positive? I don't know. But I think we have done well. But we just might have done that a little bit better. But I'm really proud of the club and the players. And we belong at the level. And I think my belief is that Pen and Bont have added a lot to the league this year.
No, absolutely. And how do you, you've started already, I guess, but what are your plans to build now? I mean, I'm not asking for who you're going to sign sort of thing, but where do you see the growth of the team? What do you need going forward to take you to that next level?
The biggest thing is we don't need to lose the nucleus of what we've got now. You know, we've done our learning across the first half of the season. We've learned individually and collectively. And we need certainly to keep that together as much as we can. Yeah, we'll improve or sign new players. You always need fresh faces. And we just want to build on what we've got, what we ended the season with. And I think it's a great place for our players to be. So won't be changing too much. What do we need to change? We need goals. We didn't score enough goals last year. And again, that's a collective responsibility from myself all the way through to, you know, the goalkeeper, if you like. You know, as a team, we need to create goals. I think we had sorted out at the back, but we probably need to be a bit stronger again, because what we want to do now is sort of push into that middle group. So can we be in and around your Druids, Cardiff Met, Carnarvon, Newtown, and not worry about... or whoever might be there next year. But we need to be in that kind of middle four, really. And that's where we want to be, and that's our aim.
And in terms of... I got this idea from you, I think, actually. But in terms of, you know, the career you've had and the people you've come up against and so on, I mean, you know, you don't want to seem to take on this status that you have too much, but who are the people that you look at and think, God, they were good, you know, they were, if anyone's a legend of this league, it's that guy or that player or whoever.
The first one that springs to mind is Gary Lloyd. Gary's mindset was, again, he was horrible on the pitch, but he was so determined and he was a winner. So he was certainly someone. Oh, wow, it's a tough question. I think so. Even like someone who's come after me, Venice is doing brilliantly, and he's going to go on and get that status. He's got it already. Who else did I play with? Lee Phillips, you know, won an awful lot of things. God, it's a tough question. They put me on the spot there. There's so many. I think, like, I worked with Steve Jenkins. Steve was assistant manager at Llanelli, and his mindset, we're quite similar. And, you know, he gave me confidence that I do things right, if you like. So Steve is certainly someone. But in terms of the playing career, I think it's tough to look past Gary Lloyd, because as well, he did it at a couple of clubs.
Is there anyone that you sort of played against that you think, you know, in particular, if you had to, I know I asked you for a five of people you played with before. I mean, is there a five of ones you played against?
I tell you what, Andrew York gave me terrible games. He was at Barry, he was probably 6 inches shorter than me as well. You probably won't be happy with me saying that. But I couldn't beat him in the air. I couldn't beat him. Like, obviously, I was young and I got a lot better. And I actually came quite streetwise at winning headers. But I couldn't beat him in the air. And then he'd say to me, unlucky son, you know, you weren't far off that one. And I'd be like, oh, right, great, great. And he was really, I know now, because I know him, he was turning to his centre-half and you know, taking the mick out of me. But Andrew York was tough to play against. It was tough. Gary Brabham was tough to play against. It's funny, though, like, so I'm not going to name names, but there's some players that people say, oh, he was a tough adversary for you, and I think, no, he wasn't. I loved playing against him. And another one I found hard to play against. George Horan, I always had good battles with George. There was games when I felt like I totally dominated him today, but there was games like the season that Real won the league, I think it was 2009, where both games he dominated me. So that was a battle that went both ways. And there was players I just looked at and thought, oh, he's a player, whether it was I was up against them or not. John Lear was one, Simon Davis, who was a banger in TNS, who were very good players. I'm sure there's a few I should be mentioning here, but I'm not. But the Welsh Prem's always had good players. And now as a manager, I'm bringing players in from outside the Welsh Prem, and they're without any arrogance, they're thinking, oh, it'd probably be all right, this. And they're finding it tough. And it's always been tough. It's changed as it's probably less physical and more football now, but it was always a good, strong lead.
And you touch on George there. I mean, you must be, you know, as a rival, I guess, back in the day, but you must be pleased for him to sort of still be playing and to have that success this year to win the title.
Yeah, you must. To let you into my psyche, I knew I was finished as a player when I started liking the players I was playing against and not wanting to kill him every time I played against them. And now I certainly respect him, there's a mutual respect there. But I lost that edge because I didn't really want to, you know, kill everyone all the time. And I hated him. I hated him years ago, playing against him. I remember the first time I played against George, I was playing for Carmarthen and I missed a pen. I took a few people will say shock, but I missed a few, but I missed a pen and he came up to me and he said, I knew you were going to miss that. And I said, I wish you bloody told me. I wouldn't have taken it, I would have let someone else take it, but I'll never forget that. But no, we played against each other a lot in the years. We've had a couple of little moments which he'll remember, but it's longevity. Look, I don't know how old he is. I'm only playing. He is younger than me, but he's doing well because I put him in my team of the year. And I'd imagine he'll get in the team of the year. And to do that at his age is some achievement. Having said that, though, it's a cigar at a centre-half, isn't it? Anyone could do it at a centre-half, easy.
and just finally, I guess, really, I mean, obviously, you know, you've got that hunger for football still in a different capacity now, I guess. At what point does Rhys Griffiths think, no, I've had enough now? Or do you not contemplate that?
No, we had a tough year last year and it was hard at times, but I never flinched. I never ever thought about walking away or is this for me or anything like that. I think when you just stop enjoying it, like you lose on a Saturday. We lost 3-2, I think, four times. And in the last minute, a couple of times as well. And you'd get on a Saturday night, you'd be depressed and you couldn't sleep. And then by Sunday, I wouldn't be saying I'd be happy about it, but I'd be looking forward to Tuesday's training and planning and being positive. So I think Andy Morrison said something in I think it was a Connors Key podcast, actually. And he said that when you win as a manager, you just get a bit of peace. Now, and it's so true. You just get that bit of peace when you win. And I've had that peace that we've stayed up. When we've lost, I've been down initially, but then straight away, just start working hard and trying to, and don't stop believing and going forward again. So once I stop enjoying it, that'll be the time for me. And if I can enjoy the season I've just had, then I think I got plenty of enjoyment to come, I hope, anyway.
Oh, well, we hope so too. Thank you very much for your time. I've really appreciate it. And congratulations once again on your success this season and the career you've had. You know, I mean, you don't want to put that status on yourself. I won't keep making you blush. But, you know, it's been very good, to say the least. Whenever we get back to it, I'm sure it'll be enjoyable to watch. And I look forward to making the long trip down to Pennebont to catch up.
Look forward to seeing you. Thanks, Jamie.
No, thank you, mate.